Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
The Boston Bruins open the season this evening on the road, and you can talk about that all day long on WEEI, including with Jones and Keefe coming up in just a little bit. We are anxiously awaiting Rob Ninkovich, who will join us soon, depending on the cluster F that is the New England traffic in the rain. Yeah. But in the meantime, Shime, so as to fit everything in today, let's get to Hill Notes, and they are brought to you by Coleman Electric. If you need an electrician, call Coleman.
It's electric!
Jinxon here as the show marches on, and one lingering show question still remains. The size of Santos Dawn. That's right, as Coco in the past has famously said, seven is nuts. Now she claims to be a master of the U.S. metric system, saying her man's working with a nine iron, which is quite the trouser snake for an average-sized Caucasian male. I have examined the Pan Mass Challenge photo of Santo in great detail with exhaustive effort, and have found that if you look back and to the left, back and to the left, you can see what looks like a tube sock stuffed in there. And underneath, a second conspiracy theory possibly is it looks like you can read titillates on two pairs of golf balls in St. Baker shorts.
There was no packing in that thing. That was all natural.
Right. Yeah, you and T-Swift, very impressed by your partners.
Coco's giving out full-size candy bars. What's her definition of full size? Because Charleston Chews are nuts.
Hey guys, it's me, Curtis. I still am trying to figure out why Ken would even want to host in Greg's absence. What would make him think I'm not a good host?
Great call.
Ken, I guess, is going to host tomorrow.
Yeah.
Been a while. I mean, well, it does the Saturday thing. You guys do the Saturday show.
I think we should keep playing Hill Notes, and he may change his mind.
Oh, no.
Is he technically the host of the Ken and Curtis show on Saturdays, or is that you, Curtis?
I don't know. He just shows up, and then everybody wants to talk to me, and he just sort of sits in the corner.
Oh, really? Yeah. That never a call for him directly.
It's just, you know, well, the ones that people want to ask him about, he's not allowed to talk about, you know, the radio station, so we just get right back to ball.
Hey everyone, good morning, especially to you, Smoko. Looking great as always. I understand Ken, the lifeguard, is thinking about making a return to the radio. I think this would be a good time to remind everyone that immediately after Ken's retirement, you guys started shooting up the rankings and became the number one show. Well, it's not necessarily a good thing, you know? There's a reason you guys became number one after Ken.
Yeah, it's decision three, and it will come at some point today, I'm assuming, on our social media from Ken Laird about whether he will unretire.
Can I like the new nickname, Smoko, though.
I know, I like that, too.
Cool. Yeah, Smoko. You like that?
Oh, yeah, I'll take
that. Okay,
I'll take any nice things right now.
Can we actually do that? Like, have Jackson sit down with Ken and get Ken's decision?
Yeah, of course we can. I mean, what a fraud LeBron James is.
That was so dumb.
I told you.
So upsetting.
I tell you. You don't want to listen to me.
Can I ask you a question?
Sure.
Does he need the money?
No, but yeah.
So, like, what would you guess that Hennessy paid him for that?
Oh. I bet it was pretty good. So, you know, it's not that you need the money, but people that are that rich,
want the money.
But
what's
Greg,
your decision? Difference?
In this fall, man, this is tough. In this fall, I'm going to be taking my talents to Hennessy VSOP.
Okay.
VSOP.
Thank you. Thank you, LeBron.
Oh, I like
Tom
Hennessy
Brady doesn't
VSOP.
Need money.
Yeah.
No. And he's going to Saudi Arabia.
It's not about need. It's want.
But yeah, I know. I'm agreeing with you.
Yeah, yeah, no, I'm saying that.
But I think that's different. I don't think Tom Brady does the things that he does for the money.
What?
No, I would be the...
Stop it, Greg.
I would be the first...
Go with the Hill Notes. Don't even continue.
I would be the first one to rip him if I... I think he's doing...
You think he loves Saudi Arabia this time
of
year?
He's a weirdly competitive dude. Like, I think he... Like, the opportunity...
He's going to play in an exhibition flag football
right.
game?
Right.
Okay, right. I mean, I don't
that's
like...
That's the what, money.
What
and
happened,
that's why the rich continue to get richer.
Right,
like,
exactly.
It's
not that they need it, if they want it.
That's allegedly $75 million
right.
talking.
Well, I think he does the television gig because he wanted to try to see if he could learn a new profession and do well at
He's making $37 million.
I understand, but he's got millions anyway.
But that's more than he made as a player per year.
Right. Just because Elon has is closing in on what, $500 billion doesn't mean he doesn't want a trillion.
Yeah, okay. I mean, somebody in the Twitch chat says I'm an idiot, so I guess I am.
Yeah. He's got half the Raiders team going out to Saudi. So-
I heard that if you shart your pants, the baby's going to have a huge dong.
One of those. What? A lot of those weird Hill Notes today, but that's okay.
That's okay.
I love the weirdness.
But a lot of those wives' tales, as they call them, are not accurate. Like if you have morning sickness, you're having a girl or whatever. There's so many. You get a lot of
coming from the guy who's had experience having babies.
Yep.
I mean, you get a lot of unsolicited advice when you're pregnant.
I'll take the advice.
Right?
I just don't want the people that say, just wait. Oh, you think it's bad now? That's not what you want to hear.
That creates anxiety.
Not even anxiety. It's just I want to look forward to welcoming a child into the world. I don't need you to tell me about how sleepless my nights are going to be. I'm aware.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
It's really the 12 to 15 hours of painful labor that you have to worry about.
Yes.
And then the pushing.
Yeah. That's something that I'm aware that I have to go through.
And then all the stories that come with the actual birth giving and what it does, moment.
Yep.
All right, stop.
Just saying.
You got to get the epidural right away.
As soon as I can.
As soon as you do.
Some say that it doesn't work.
Well, I'm hoping it does.
I feel bad. I give you all the credit in the world, Courtney.
And Oyster Man 28, I hope Coco has a girl for her own sake. I'm having a boy. Thank you.
Follow along.
When Julia was being born and we rushed to the hospital, it was early in the morning, 3 a.m. or something. And Jen Hill was, just in absolute, gut-wrenching pain. Could barely walk into the place, and it was she was awful in pain. And so I rushed in with her, and there was an old woman working at the front desk of the hospital. And I said, look at her. My God, she and the lady says, don't worry. They all act like this.
What?
So, Yes.
What a mentality to have in that job.
that's crazy.
They all act like this. No.
You'll be fine.
I'll be fine.
Yeah, you'll be fine.
I think I have a strong pain tolerance. I don't know.
Yeah.
We'll find out.
It depends. I think probably a lot has changed since with the advent of modern medicine.
Yes.
I missed all that.
Yes.
Yeah. Some women pop them out like they're eggs, so you'll be fine.
God. They call that bedside manner.
Yes.
And some have it and some
don't. I didn't want to look. I was all eyes on my wife in her eyes. I don't want to look anywhere in that area.
Mason-Dixon line.
Yeah, I don't need to know what's going on.
Hi, this is Taylor Swift, and I'd like to play my new song for you. It's an original song that I wrote. It's called Keyboard Woman, and here it is.
Come on, Taylor.
What a fraud she is, too.
She's not a fraud.
My God. People have been spending a fortune going to see her and buying her the eight versions of the record with the different color schemes, and it's all ripped off
it's
music.
It's not ripped off. She's so lawyered up. She is so brilliant when it comes to the music industry. She's not doing, you don't think that everything, her I's are dotted and her T's are crossed like a million times.
I give her credit because she's doing is smart. She's like ripping off foreign low-level
singers. No, she is not.
It's abhorrent.
It's like she's stealing from the poor people that can, you know, can barely afford
she's like
studio
the anti-Robin
time.
Anti-Robin Hood of music.
That's a hill note of the year.
That
by
was
the
funny.
Way. Is that it, or you got more?
I got one more for you if you want.
All right.
Good morning. I was inspired by the 8th greatest player in NBA history regarding the decision yesterday. So I have another decision, big announcement this morning. I am back to being frustrated with numbnuts. The way he continues to stomp all over Bill Belichick is infuriating. His sighing, his moaning. I don't know what's wrong with him, but now I'm back. Numbnuts!
All right, well, that'll do it. Yeah. I see Rob Ninkovich walking in the studio, so we'll chat with you about the miserable drive in this morning.
It
nightmare?
Sucked. Yeah.
Nightmare?
Yeah,
all right.
It was bad.
Rob Ninkovich in the studio joining us. Hill Notes brought to you by Coleman Electric. If you need an electrician, you can call Coleman.
It's electric!
And here is Courtney with what is trending.
Now, here's what's trending on WEEI.
Trending now brought to you by the 99. The Bruins season starts tonight. They're in D.C. to take on the Capitals. Puck drop is at 7:30, and it's the first preseason game for the Celtics. They're in Memphis to take on the Grizzlies. Tip is set for 8. The Yankees survive after being down 6-3 at the end of the third. The Yankees kept the Blue Jays scoreless for the rest of the game, while New York scored 6 more runs. Final 9-6 with game 4 tonight. First pitch is at 7:08 with Cam Schlittler getting the start. Over to the NFL, the Browns are trading quarterback Joe Flacco and a 6th-round pick to the Bengals for a 5th-rounder. And at the 99 restaurant, $14.99 big deal meals start the week off right. Satisfy big appetites every Monday through Wednesday. Try the new grilled teriyaki chicken for flavor that's always kicking. For big deal meals and a great time, you gotta love the nines. That's what's trending. Rob Ninkovich coming up next.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, 2-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know who. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Rob Ninkovich is brought to you by Ketch's Law. Your attorneys, your neighbors. Ketch's Law has won over $3 billion for injured New Englanders. Learn more at ketcheslaw.com. You made it this morning.
Don't sue me for being late, Greg. I thought with your payroll and your salary, you could get me an escort somehow, like a police escort, to get me in here, because this morning it was basically fighting through floodwaters, uh-huh, trying to get here, a raging river going, uh-huh, down 95. So I'm happy to be here. Sorry I'm a little bit late.
You're coming from the Foxborough area?
I'm coming from Walpole.
Walpole.
I dropped the kids.
That is the home of Cam. What's his last name, Courtney?
Schlittler.
Oh, thank
Schlittler.
You. Okay. Yes. And so driving a reasonable vehicle? Or
no, not
like
a reasonable. Okay. Not reasonable at all. I'm in a 70 Buick Electra,
oh,
convertible, which
nice
was
car
leaking.
Soft top?
On the way here, soft top.
Oh,
and there's a few gone leaks. So yeah. Yeah. The reason I didn't have a car available is my wife told me I couldn't use hers. So use one of your old ones. Had to use the old one.
Okay.
So if you see a 70 Buick Electra driving down 95, that's me.
That's you.
Since
that's
you're me coming from Walpole every Wednesday now moving forward, can we do like a
I might put come in our, earlier.
Put in an order from Muffin House?
Oh, yeah. I go right past them,
yeah,
honestly.
That is...
Muffin House?
Oh,
great,
Greg.
Muffins.
Really?
Great
really
breakfast
good
sandwiches.
Really good breakfast. They do sourdough. Not a lot of places do sourdough.
Yeah.
Wow. It's better for you. Just like your thing of blueberries right there, Greg.
Well, you know, blueberries and...
getting that low cholesterol.
I had a bite of my mush, and it didn't taste right, and I looked at the expiration date.
Expired?
Every time.
4/20/25.
That desk in front of you is the...
Lord knows what'll happen.
Everything in front of you is the epitome of health right there.
Blueberries?
Yes.
So listen.
Except it's not working.
Let's talk about Sunday night.
Let's talk about it. I'm ready.
On the brightest and biggest of stages, and that Patriots win, is this team for real?
They look really good. I'm not going to say they're back and they're going to the Super Bowl, but I think from where they were, they're learning and they're getting better, and that's really what you want. You want to see a progression from week to week of getting better. Granted, there is a few penalties. I mean, they need to clean up some of the penalties. If you look at the amount of penalties, the yardage there, the hidden yardage and penalties, that can get you in a close game. But if you look at Buffalo, they had a lot of the same mistakes as well. So I think they looked really good. Drake May looked amazing, threw the ball amazing. He was able to get out of the pocket, use his legs, look downfield. You know, a lot of young quarterbacks, when they have to get out of the pocket, they start to look at the rush instead of keeping their eyes downfield. And for him to be able to evaluate the field, Diggs had an amazing game. I mean, he wanted a payback game, and that was a payback game. You could tell in the pregame warm-ups, the guy was juiced up and ready to go.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So it was a great game. I think they played well. Now, I think the biggest challenge, and Wiggy, you know this, is going to go from the emotions and getting yourself ready to go play a Sunday night game on the road in the division, keeping that same juice going on the road to play New Orleans, which they should destroy New Orleans. But this is one of them, you know, this is one of them games where you can get caught. So keeping the same energy and keeping that same mentality going on the road for a non-divisional game now, I'm going to see what that looks like.
What is the primary difference between this season and last? Rex Ryan, we listened to Rex Ryan yesterday on the show say it's all Mike Vrabel. Like, from your perspective, it might be the development of Drake May. Like, what in your mind, what's the primary difference?
I think it's a combination of things. They spent $365 million in free agency. That helps, right? So bringing in new guys, drafting, you know, I think Campbell's having a terrific season for a rookie. He's got the juice. So you see that guy, he always seems to be a young leader. I think Diggs, watching him, he seems like to be that veteran leader, getting everyone going. You know, the pregame speech, the in-game motivation, after the game, and Vrabel's doing a terrific job. So I think it's a combination. I think bringing McDaniels, Josh, in for Drake has probably been the biggest thing offensively and moving forward to where this whole organization can kind of get back to where they're winning ways. Now,
Shime, any comment?
Uh-oh, Shime? What does Shime think? Josh didn't do anything.
Shime hates Josh McDaniels.
Why do you hate Josh?
He's terrible.
He's terrific.
He thinks he stinks.
I think his play calling is very inconsistent.
What is Drake May's percentage, completion
like
percentage?
70,
how many times did he have to roll out of the pocket and make a play and improvise with Steph Diggs? Yes, on Sunday.
I mean, improvise, that's football. It's the whole
exactly.
game
that's
of
not
improvising.
Josh, but that's my point. That's not Josh McDaniels' play calling. That's a great job by the receiver to find a spot and the quarterback to find him and make a play.
Yeah, but the offensive coordinator puts the receiver in the spot to make a play.
He also thought Josh McDaniels was telling Drake not to run.
Well, I would tell Drake not to run, considering if you watch this season, he has been taking care of himself better than he was last year.
Of course, but in the beginning, he was a bit nervous, it seemed, because...
I mean, look, I'd be nervous, too. I wouldn't want to see my quarterback get smacked.
Yeah.
Nick, you would know this, not like you had a job waiting or anything, but when Gerard Mayo built his staff in that one year, did he do it with the expectation that it would look much different and more of his liking in subsequent years?
I don't understand that question.
So my question would be, why didn't Mayo bring in a guy like McDaniels? Why did he bring in a guy like Van Pelt?
Well, maybe he wasn't available or available to bring in at the time. And I think every single year, there's timing aspects of it too, because you try to get your staff in line year or two before and say, listen, I might have this job that's coming up next year. Would you be open to moving your whole family back to wherever? Would you be open to taking this job? And we all thought Bill was going to have that job one more year, correct? I didn't think Bill was going to get fired at, but then that happened. So then Mayo was available. And then Mayo was probably, hey, I got to get a whole coaching staff together a year before or 2 years, and I wasn't ready. So, I mean, there's definitely a lot of timing factors right. when it comes.
And Alex, can you help me out on the offensive side? And Alex says, Elliot Wolf. And then Elliot Wolf says, oh, yeah, I worked with Alex Van Pelt.
Exactly.
Maybe he could be somebody good for you. And
it's all contracts, too. So you have to. It's not just the timing of, hey, will you be available next year? It's, hey, I have a 2 to 3 year contract that I'm working for somebody. Maybe I can get out. Maybe I can't get out. Maybe they'll let me out. Maybe they won't let me out. So there's all these different factors that go into hiring your coaching staff.
You know the organization better than anybody other than Wiggy probably in the room. Is there a chance that they add significantly to this team?
I would assume November? They're always looking for talent.
They always say that. Mike Vrabel always says that.
I think,
that.
Yeah, you do look for talent, but then you have to look at what you're giving up for talent. So are we going and getting somebody that we feel can help the team win right now versus giving up a draft pick that we potentially could have a future with somebody who was in the second or third round? So I think it depends on the talent level.
But when you win a game like that, like a signature game like Sunday night, does that change strategy-wise internally? Do you then change and go, all right, we need to whatever we need to win right now. Like we have an opportunity here in the AFC.
I think you stay with your building mentality of we're taking this organization that was really bad and we're bringing in our type of guys and we're looking for our type of guys who are trying to flip what was into what will be. So right now, if you look at last year's captains to this year's captains, they've replaced everybody. You know, the whole team has flipped over. The coaching staff, everything is turned over. So when you're looking for, I don't know, a receiver that might play for the Eagles, I would be interested in that because mm-hmm. there is a relationship there, number one, with Vrabel. So that goes to the whole, hey, I know this guy, I know his character. And then on the flip side of it, didn't he say it's AJ, right?
Yeah, AJ Brown.
AJ Brown, didn't he say he wanted to be a Patriot? In the draft process, he was crying.
He wanted
to be a Patriot. So there's also a connection there. So I personally would love to see that move. But then on the flip side of it, you have a team that's like, all right, give us a first, give us a second,
right.
You know, which doesn't make sense.
Well, I think that it's going to be critical these next 4 weeks because the next 4 weeks, after the Atlanta game, you'll look at that and you'll go, okay, where are we? Because then the trade deadline is a couple days later. So I think those 4 weeks, if you win your next four games, you might be more in the line of saying, all right, we got a couple days. Let's get somebody that can really help us.
There's also specific positions that you can go and get mm-hmm. that aren't really that hard to learn. So, mm-hmm. for example, if you're Joe Flacco and you just go to Cincinnati, you're literally having to walk in the building. Now, he's a veteran. He knows offenses, right. and he could probably get it quickly, but he's still having to relearn a verbiage
right.
and do that as fast as possible versus you go get a running back or a pass rusher or a receiver and say, hey, run a go route.
Right.
And you look at the guy and say, just run a go. It doesn't matter the verbiage.
Right.
You know, defensive end, hey, just get the quarterback.
Right.
All right, cool, I can do that.
What do you do with somebody like Ramondre right now? The fumbling continues to be an issue, and now you've got Gibson out.
I think you got to keep giving him the ball.
Right.
And, you know, hope that he doesn't have another one. And, you know, another part of football is your confidence. You know, when you start to lose confidence, but then also lose the confidence of your coaches and the guys around you. Now, it is your fault because you're fumbling, but on the flip side of it, you know, you can get past those things. And if you start, you know, gaining your confidence back and holding the ball and running the ball well, you can go on a run here. So hopefully they continue to use him.
But isn't it time for them to say, because I think his confidence is completely gone.
Yeah.
I think it's, you know, for him mentally, even though they keep giving him an opportunity, I just think he's like in that place where it's like, oh my God, he's always
thinking about it.
Right. Yeah. Where I think like now it's time for them to say, all right, well, Travion Henderson, we drafted him in the second round. He's going to be our lead back. We're going to throw you in there, Ramondre, and you don't have to worry about carrying the load as much because, you know, I've never been in that position, but as somebody who catches the football, once your confidence, it's gone. It's harder on the defensive side because you don't really have to focus on catching a football, holding on to it. I just think Ramondre's is gone.
Well, I think about as a long snapper, you know, I've been in positions mm-hmm. where you make a bad snap. And then you're thinking about the next snap.
Right.
So in your head, you know you can do it because you're repeating it in practice and you're doing it over and over and over again. But the second you get back on the field, you're like, in the back of your head.
So are you thinking about?
I hope I don't mess this up. Yep. You know, I hope I don't throw this over the guy's head because then it's my fault.
You drop a football, yes, it's the same thing.
It's the same thing. God. And you start thinking about it and dwelling on it. And you do it in practice. You're like, oh, this is easy. But the second you step on the game field, it's almost like you have a flashback. Bang, I'm
because
here.
If you look
it.
At the hit that he took in the game, it wasn't like a punch
got hit
out.
Him with the elbow.
Yeah,
he
it was just like a regular tackle.
He
that
wasn't
you,
trying to get the ball. Yeah.
And so that's why I think when I watch him, I think that it's just now in his head because of all the fumbles. And sometimes it's hard for those guys to come back, like to really get to the point. I've seen guys who had the dropsies. Like, all right, they never get back.
But with Ramondre, it's not even just this season. He had this issue last season and with Bill. Like, Bill benched him.
So he's still thinking about that. That's my point. He might never come back from this.
Yeah.
He might just have the fumbleitis for the rest of his career where there are some guys who never were able to flip that switch and change. And now if you have that as a coach, you got to be like, oh, man.
Yeah, Ken says you got to wear a mask to prevent spreading fumbleitis.
Put like, the sticky traps. You know those mouse sticky traps? Put a couple of them on his forearm.
Do something.
That ball stick.
But when Vrabel's asked about it, he's very, like, he kind of takes the blame off Ramondre a lot. It seems like he protects Ramondre when he talks to people about it.
As a coach, it's a balancing act of how much do I put on the player, how much do I put on everybody else, myself, the coaching staff, you know. It's always a balancing act trying to give – you don't want the guy to flip on any radio or the TV and say, you know, head coach blames running back for trouble, right? So you're trying to figure out the best way to say we still have confidence in the player because we need the player. You know, you can't just say, all right, you've been fumbling. You're on the bench. You're not playing anymore because at the end of the day, the offense needs him. So you just got to continue to maybe – mix in the reps, mix in the type of plays. Hey, we're in the low red. Hey, we're on the one. We need you. Let's go. Punch it in. And, you know, that's how you regain the confidence.
We were talking earlier. We've been talking for a couple of days about the AFC and who you're worried about parity, about do you feel like it's wide open?
I feel like right now the NFL in general is sloppy. You know, there's a lot of sloppy football. You watch these games and there's so many penalties and field goals used to be money. Every field goal block in general, you go back in the 10 years ago, there wasn't blocked field goals like there is this year, right? You see all these field goals that are getting blocked and you're like, what's going on? And it comes down to going way back to the fundamentals and learning things through college, and you get to the pros and you're continuing to be coached and taught and learn how to do things to where special teams used to be like, hey, there's not a hiccup here. This is just the way the game is. And now you see a lot of hiccups in a lot of areas that you start to say the better coached teams, the more disciplined teams are going to be able to win these games. Because at the end of the game, when you need to kick a field goal and win it, which, I had my fingers crossed. The rookie came through. He kicked the ball. It was through the uprights. Great.
Yeah.
But, you know, you think back on some PATs that they're supposed to be there and they were gone. They weren't there. So, you know, I think right now it's wide open, and the next month, the next 4 weeks of the season, we're going to see a lot of teams either getting better or staying the same. And if you are a team that can improve and get better, you're going to be able to beat the teams that stay the same.
I just think nowadays, like even in the NFC, there's no – when you played, I felt like New England was always dominant. They were just so much better than everybody else, and there's no dominant team. Like, you know, I watched the Philly game, and there's a couple games that they win, like you said, on a block field goal where they scoop and score, but there's no team that you go, man, you got to be on your A game to beat that team. And that's why I give New England that's why in my eyes I look at, if New England could consistently play like this, they can easily make a deep run.
I think as far as these massive swings, you look at the Panthers, they beat Atlanta 30-0,
right?
Came here and they didn't even look like they wanted to be on the football field. They were walking into the huddle or into the tunnel at halftime, literally walking, every single one of them walking. Well, maybe one or two because I filmed it. But I'm like, they don't want to be here.
Right.
And then they got destroyed, right? So it's so weird how they have these massive swings. And that's what I was talking about. In division, non-division game. Because Atlanta, in division, they're jacked up. We got to win this team. We got to beat this team. We got to win against this team. And then the next week, they're on the road, team they don't really know. who cares? We're still getting paid. Let's get the break speed off us.
And that's your concern about Sunday.
My concern about Sunday is the momentum and the energy in a Sunday night game. We got a big one coming, and then you go on the road with a non-division team that really is kind of because they're not a good team either.
Right, but don't you think Vrabel gives them a little bit of
juice?
Of juice in the sense not to fall into that.
Of course. He's telling them all week, I guarantee he's saying it. Listen, we're going on the road. We don't know these guys. We got to prepare this week, just like last week. Let's build this momentum. Let's go on a run here. But, at the end of the day, I think that it's also been the mentality of the players. And we're seeing a shift in the mentality of the players from what it used to be to this kind of not as violent, like before you'd go into pregame, if we were playing the Ravens or the Steelers, there were almost like security people in between the two teams because they wanted to fight each other, like literally. Now they're like, hey, let's have dinner tomorrow. Great. Yeah. Good to see you. Let's swap jerseys after the game. Like, we're buddies. Yeah, we
That's
trained
like all the
We trained in Arizona
all the old
together.
Guys say that.
It's
well,
crazy.
Even Vrabel said it, though. Remember when Vrabel, when I remember there were guys that policed the locker room, guys like Willie Mack, Lawyer Malloy, these guys policed the locker room. So you
what
had
was
to be
that for you guys?
I mean, I think we didn't really have that
butler
enforcer. No, I mean, I'm thinking back to the teams that we played on defensively, like Vince didn't mess around. Like, so I would say Vince was quiet, but he'd be like, no, we ain't doing that. Like, let's go. Yeah. We ain't doing that. Like, we ain't going over there talking, having a good time with these guys.
He policed the locker room. You had to worry about Vince. Like, if I said something slick, Vince is going to be like, so that's my, but even Vrabel said this to the other, to us the other day. I'm trying to find somebody to beat, but like you said, their personalities aren't
as like, think about the Steelers. They had Joey Porter in warmups would have his shirt off flexing, like trying to intimidate people, which I'd laugh at. I'm like, dude, go over there. What are you doing?
Juju Smith-Schuster doing the TikToks pregame for the Steelers that changed that.
I can do that to get everybody fired up for the show.
The Ravens. Like,
take my shirt off
Give us the Steph Diggs speech pregame.
All right. We can take a break. Rob Ninkovich is here, and Rob Ninkovich is brought to you by Ketch's Law. Your attorneys, your neighbors. Learn more at ketcheslaw.com.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And you're seeing exactly
why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Jones and Keefe coming up shortly, and a few more moments left with our new coworker, Rob Ninkovich, former New England Patriots linebacker, who will be on this show and here on time, I'm hoping, every Wednesday going forward for the rest of this NFL season.
Yes, I think I'm going to come earlier, though.
You are?
I think I'm going to be earlier in the day because traffic was bad at 8.
Well, what are you going to do about the school drop-off?
I mean, the wife's got to do something.
Oh, right.
I'm kidding. Kidding.
I mean, what does she do all day?
Joking.
Have you ever asked yourself that question?
Target.
That is important.
Yeah. Target and Kelly Clarkson.
Target. Target. I got to go to Target. Okay. Have fun.
It is fun.
Yeah. And Starbucks.
Yeah. Rob got to experience the rain, as the rest of you are this morning, on his way in. Can we open up the window world of Boston weather window for Curtis one last time? Curtis, what do we got today? This rain all day?
Yeah, off and on. Sporadic rain now until 4 o'clock. 65 feels like 60. And Courtney, I know the answer for BC's future. We need an Andrew Luck. Did you see this breaking story, Greg?
No.
He just offered or just guaranteed a $50 million donation to Stanford's football program.
Wow.
Wow. Wow,
that's pretty massive.
Wow.
Yeah.
That is smart right there. He's the GM, I think, of Stanford.
Well, Matt Ryan would be your guy, Curtis.
Yeah.
I actually think you made a great point. Patrick Mahomes is the best big game quarterback, Matt. Take back what I said.
I don't, That confuses me on what you get out of that. So think about if you're a business, and I'm not going to get into politics, but if you're, you know, you put money into one thing and somebody gets elected, you're like, all right, I can get the back. Like if I own a solar company or whatever,
right.
I'll make it back. But if you just give money to a football program and they don't win, you get anything back for that?
That's the love of the
It's the love of the $50 million of love.
You get a nice sweet.
You get a nice, get a couple hoodies.
Yeah.
He must really love Stanford, though.
I mean, but if you donate $50 million, you're worth bills.
Right.
Like, I mean, but he said it was Andrew Luck, right?
How much money does Andrew Luck have?
Right.
That's, Andrew Luck?
Yeah,
that's what he said. $50
that's what he said.
It was Andrew Luck?
Yeah. Quarterback Andrew Luck.
No.
Yeah, that's what he said.
Okay, he's getting a massive contract. That doesn't make sense. His net worth is listed for $40 million.
Yeah, he didn't make. 200 million, 300
maybe his
million.
Dad owns an oil field in Texas. Have, who the hell knows?
Did he have some kind of insurance policy or something maybe that paid
I
him?
Mean, but when he, I think when he was drafted, I think he was drafted before the whole rookie scale.
I mean his last contract in the NFL was $123 million.
Yeah, and then his
contract before that was $22 million.
But he didn't.
You don't make that all.
Play that out.
You got to pay taxes.
Yeah,
he didn't play that out.
He must have. Hey, you know what? He must have invested in something.
So he turned into an investment banker.
Okay, there you go.
Good for him.
He's an investment banker.
Wait, no. The program has received a whopping $50 million donation from former player turned investment banker Bradford Freeman.
There we go.
Oh, so Andrew Luck was in the picture because he's running the thing.
Yeah,
I'm sorry.
He's a GM. Okay,
there it is. It's you in those pictures.
Right. Oh man, I thought he was a Cafe Nero.
I was going to say, did they do the deal at a coffee place in the Seaport?
Because I was going to say his career. I just looked on Spotrac. His career earnings was $109 million.
Oh, okay.
Cut that in half to taxes. He would have just handed over what he made his whole career.
Unless damn, I wish I was Bradford, whatever his name is.
Well, it's ironic that his last name is Freeman.
Bradford Freeman.
What you really wish is you were Mrs. Bradford Freeman.
Women make money too, Greg. Right.
So if you give a kid $5 million bucks to come play for
I trust
you.
Bradford.
And he decides to transfer. Does he keep the $5 million?
No. They have these things all in place now. If a kid transfers, sometimes they got to pay the money back.
Ooh.
Yeah, so it's written into a lot of those contracts. Okay. But Curtis, to your point, Andrew Luck being able to get somebody to donate that money is what you be able to need to do. But yeah, they write them in the contracts. If you transfer, you got to pay that money back. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
And you got to pay tax on it.
Which... how about a little help for Purdue?
Perdon't right now? No, I'm kidding. I'm kidding.
Perdon't.
Yeah, you know, I give him a couple, $5,000 or something.
There you go.
Do they ask you for money?
Oh, yeah.
They must be.
Oh, yeah. One time.
You.
Yeah. They were doing this tunnel and they asked me to, you know, donate a little bit to it. And they're like, yeah, Drew Brees is the biggest, you know, donated a bunch. And I said, yeah, it's Drew Brees, man. Right. Like, that dude made $350 million.
You know what you do? Georgia does it with me all the time. They're like, oh, yeah, donate money. I say, you want me to donate money? Give my two boys scholarships.
Oh, yeah.
Team.
Well, that's the thing with this guy. He's an older gentleman, Bradford Freeman. And so, like, his legacy forever
is to donate, like, get a bench or something.
Yeah, yeah. But his kids, grandkids, great, they're all going to Stanford.
He'll probably do, like Patrick Mahomes in Texas Tech. He donated money, but I think the weight room's named after him now.
Yeah.
Texas Tech, they flipped that thing real quick because they spent money.
Do you think that is that a good thing for college football in general? The big donors?
The money.
The money? No.
It's terrible.
It's awful.
Yeah, it's just making things real bad.
Hey, why do coaches can get paid, but we can't get paid? We're the ones putting
it. Wiggy gets paid if you get to the pros.
Wiggy thinks it's the greatest thing.
Yeah. Like, so a kid comes out of college, he's already made $5 million. He's made half of that. He's really motivated
to
for
go
the
get
NFL.
A job that pays him $100. He's going to have great mental health and no problems.
But guess what? You pay guys in the pros a ton of money, and it doesn't motivate them.
And they got a lot of mental health and problems after they're done.
So I look at it, well.
So now you're just giving it to them earlier. They don't make the pros. But they made a little bit of money.
Right.
They have to get a normal job, but they never went to school because they went to 5 years.
Right.
They went to five different schools in 4 years. They didn't learn anything.
But at least you got this little, you know, if you're smart with your money, at least nobody's smart with their money.
There's
got to be somebody.
80% of NFL players go broke or something crazy. Yeah. Nobody, so you think a college kid that didn't go to school is going to be smart with his money when he's, you know,
taking care of his family,
Florida,
maybe too.
Taking care of his whole family.
Well, no, I mean,
Texas,
I think that guys will make mistakes. I mean, I would have been one of those guys that made mistakes, and I made mistakes when I'm in the league. But the fact that you are able to make something for what you're doing, because you might not get to the NFL.
Right.
So if you can make $2, $3, $4 million and you don't get to the NFL, hey, you might blow it.
Look forward to seeing you every Wednesday.
We'll go over the time.
Okay.
We'll figure it out.
All right.
I think I'm going to come earlier, though. Traffic, real bad, 8 o'clock. Real bad.
Yeah.
That I would think in the Buick, because isn't that thing as long as a boat anyways?
It is a boat. It is a boat, and it's you might need a boat out there today, because there's like flash flooding and a lot of big puddles.
I feel like a 70s Buick is almost like a boat on wheels.
It is a boat.
All right. Rob Ninkovich is brought to you every Wednesday by Ketch's Law, your attorneys and your neighbors. And that will do it for us. I am going to end the show today with Courtney's favorite artist. Great song here from Taylor Swift. Her, it's her. It's called My Version.
Nope.
T.S.'s version.
Nope.
Of this one.
Nope.
Jones and Keefe are next. I won't talk to you guys until Monday.
Oh,
so
safe trip.
Enjoy Florida.
See ya. Bye.
Now the time has come for leaving.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.